Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in about 10 or 15 minutes, Amy Sohn. Her new novel is Motherland, a novel. This is about parenting in Park Slope and places like Park Slope. You won't want to miss Amy Sohn coming up. But right now, ask any of the 400,000 residents of New York City's public housing, and they will likely be able to tell you a story about the security and quality of care the buildings and tenants receive. Late repairs, ignored complaints, safety concerns. The Daily News has been leading an investigation into the problems within the NYCHA leadership, and Daily News editorial page editor Arthur Brown joins us to talk about it. Arthur, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
Your reporting over the last few weeks has been a drip, drip, drip of stories about conditions within the NYCHA buildings and dysfunction within the leadership. You want to summarize those findings for our listeners and tell us what you find the most important?
Well, the large picture is that the New York City Housing Authority is the country's largest public housing authority by an enormous range. It is an organization that has been largely ignored in the city government, and it operates under severe budgetary constraints. Its funding has been dropping through the years. What that has led to is a severe decline in the maintenance of this vast housing stock, which from our point of view is a vital resource for New York City because it does house 400,000 people, which is larger than most cities. Yet the buildings are in badly deteriorating condition, with repair requests backing up enormously, and a lack of money to put things into proper shape. On top of that, and just as critical from our point of view and from what this investigation has shown, is that NYCHA's management has not in any way been up to the task of managing those difficulties. It has failed to do the proper types of repairs. It has failed to do the proper organizational and bureaucratic work that needs to get done to get the repairs done. So what you end up with is a wasting asset and hundreds of thousands of people living under conditions that they should not have to live under.
And in addition to your reporting, there have been two other recent reports into the NYCHA dysfunction, including one that I'm sure you've seen by the Boston Consulting Group, which was issued in April, but wasn't made public until last week. And it found, among other things, that NYCHA pays anywhere from $8 to $28 for the same gallon of white paint. The agency spent $5 million on a storage facility that held just $10 million of inventory, and they installed a, quote, powerful software package for its computer system, but failed to use it properly in tracking repair requests. So what's at the root of this sort of dysfunction? Is it corruption or just mismanagement, or why does this happen?
Well, as far as we've been able to diagnose it, and there may be many other factors at work as we continue to do this investigation, but as far as we've been able to diagnose it, NYCHA is kind of the poor stepchild of city government. It is an independent agency, state-chartered agency, that only technically falls under the mayor's control, but actually is really under the mayor's control and is out there kind of as an entity that nobody really wants to deal with. And over time, and this goes back, let's say, a decade or more, it was more or less a patronage dumping ground. Its management, the board, the three-member board that is supposed to oversee NYCHA, was stocked with people who were not strong in housing, were not strong in development, were not strong in construction, were not strong in the service delivery that needs to get done. They were political friends, associates, who enjoyed very high salaries for delivering very little results.
And in fact, we noticed, or I guess not necessarily directly related to that, but We noticed that this report from Boston Consulting, which may have sat unpublicized forever, had not, I think you guys at the Daily News, pushed them to make it public, that report itself cost $10 million of taxpayer money, and it was delivered in the form of a 112-page PDF. So we crunched the numbers and figured out that that's $89,285 per page, or it was 20,090 words, which is $497 per word. So I don't know, as a newspaper editor, what's the most you've ever paid per word?
Well, certainly not that. But I will tell you that the in a little bit of the history, Mayor Bloomberg brought in John Rea as the chairman of the Housing Authority in 2009. He's a man with a financial background, a banking background, and is a bright fellow. He did not have a housing background or a development background, and many people pointed to that when the mayor installed him. He was installed with the direction that he needed to get the Housing Authority's finances in order because it was running at a perpetual deficit and just simply running totally into the ground. To his credit, he's pretty much stabilized the finances of the Housing Authority, but did not overcome the severe institutional bureaucratic issues that have kept this from being a properly managed organization. He brought in the Boston Consulting Group. He paid the $10 million for it. And 7 months ago or 8 months ago, the Daily News first asked for a copy of that report. It was denied. The Housing Authority did everything it could possibly do to keep that report and its contents and the findings under wraps until the paper began to focus on some very serious issues, separate and apart from that report.
Well, once he's been there 3 years, it starts to become his problem and not just one that he inherited. But Mayor Bloomberg, as you know, has thus far defended Rea, and the mayor is also quick to add this context last week.
Just remember, unlike virtually every other city, we are not walking away from our public housing.
And he's right, as far as that goes. We know about how Chicago is shutting down massive public housing facilities, and for all its problems, New York City public housing is still seen as a model for other cities. There are long waiting lists to get in. People want to live there. Do you think it's important to remember that context, or is this just another lesson in how a non-competitive bureaucracy is going to manage badly like this?
I think it's very important to remember that context, and it is true. And New York did adopt the responsibility for providing sound housing to the poor and to low-income New Yorkers back in the days of Fiorella, LaGuardia, and later. One of the things that happened, though, is that the Housing Authority projects are now aging. 70% of them are more than 40 years old. Many of them were built in the Robert Moses era. They were built to withstand a great deal. But there is an enormous amount of wear and tear on these buildings. And age is taking its toll at a time when the money, the federal government, is the primary funder for public housing, including the New York City Public Housing Authority. The federal government has withdrawn both capital funding and operational funding, so they are under enormous pressure. There's no doubt about it, and there's no doubt that the city has kept up its responsibilities not to abandon the Housing Authority. But where it has fallen short is in actively managing the agency that it has to maximize its potential and to minimize the discomforts to the residents.
So is anything actually going to change? I mean, if we're talking about 300,000 current open requests for repairs, they're restructuring the board of directors, but that happens in a boardroom. Is it going to trickle down to people's apartments?
Well, the first thing to recognize is that restructuring the board of directors is a necessary thing and makes a lot of sense, but it's going to take action in Albany. That will not see action for months and months and months, if then. What happens internally to the management of this organization now is most important. Chairman Rea has said that he has a fix-it plan. He's got a plan to quickly get better control of the management of the Housing Authority. But what he has got an enormous challenge in front of him. And whether he's up to the task, we're going to see.
Arthur Brown, editorial page editor of the Daily News. Real quick, before you go, we just have a couple of minutes, but I wonder if you would talk about the paper a little bit. You've been at the Daily News for decades now, and in a media environment that is changing so much, threatening almost all newspapers, how do you see the role of the Daily News in the city's life today to compared to, say, 20 years ago?
I actually think that the Daily News role in the life of the city is more is as important or more important today than it was in the past, because so many of the press organizations and press organs are struggling and having a great deal of difficulty in fulfilling the civic obligation of reporting on municipal and public affairs that affect the lives of the people. And that's what the Daily News has been dedicated to, as you might see from the Housing Authority series. But there's no question that this is a challenging environment. One thing that I take great optimism from is that the paper's management, Mort Zuckerman is the publisher and owner, is investing a great deal of money in moving the Daily News into the digital future in a way that you can begin to see a new and sustainable vision for the paper, which would be good for everybody who works here, but I think even better for everybody who lives in New York.
And typically, you mentioned Mort Zuckerman, the editorial page of a paper owned by a single person reflects that person's views. So for you as editorial page editor, how much guidance, direct or indirect, do you get from Mort Zuckerman?
Well, I have worked for Mort for a whole number of years. And one thing that I have come to understand is that in terms of the life of New York City and the people of New York City, and particularly the Daily News readers, who are the working and middle class of New York with the concentrations out in the boroughs, what we want to do, what he wants us to do on this editorial board is stand on the side of those people. What's in their interest is in the interest of the Daily News, is the prevailing philosophy of the of this editorial board.
Which, for your page, as I guess for Zuckerman personally, is that you're more liberal on some things, more conservative on some things, more liberal than the Post, but more conservative than the Times.
Right, and our guiding principle is that we want to be pragmatic problem solvers, leaving aside the ideologies that others may get themselves tangled up in. So what will make a difference to us is, well, what's the likely result and what's the impact on any particular issue on which we take a stand?
Who do you endorse?
Does it make things better or worse?
Who do you endorse for president in 08?
Barack Obama.
Bush, either time?
Bush, both times, and I believe. And it was based on the national security that were going on at that moment.
Romney have a chance with you this year?
I think both men have a chance with us this year. We haven't really, I mean, there have been general discussions about it, but we haven't done the formal processing yet that we're going to do and that we generally do with everybody, which is, you know, compile great dossiers of information, all their positions, all their backgrounds, and discuss them from many different points of view and reach a consensus with Mr. Zuckerman.
So it'll be interesting to see which way the Daily News comes down on the presidential campaign, on the editorial pages. And, folks, we've linked to the Daily News investigation about the New York City Public Housing Authority. We've also linked on our page to the full 112-page Boston Consulting Group report. That's every $497 word. And Arthur Brown, Daily News, editorial board editor, thank you so much for doing this with us.
Thank you, Brian. It was a privilege.
Go to our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show for those links. And coming up next, we have Amy Sohn, the Brooklyn writer, on parenting in New York, as depicted in her new book, Motherland, a Novel.